Line, Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Game Studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And of course, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. The Titans have found their guy. The Titans have hired Rand Carthon, 49ers director of player personnel, to be the new general manager. And joining us now, Outkick 360's Jonathan Hutton. Hutton, your initial reaction to the news that broke last night, the Titans have hired Rand Carthon as their new GM.
Sounds like it fits the mold, Caroline, of the way that Amy Adams Strunk went about the John Robinson hire initially, where she has the first wave of interviews. I know it was reported yesterday that they were beginning their second phase of interviews, but my guess is that those second interviews took place a couple of days prior, and were wrapping up as the news broke about who they were going to hire. That initial reaction is she had a great first impression, that those people that they brought back had a conversation with Mike Vrabel and then had a second interview with Amy Adams Strunk all in the same time frame, and she made her decision based on the collaboration of everybody that was announced that would be in the interview process. I think it fits the mold of Robinson, because she said that Robinson initially made the great first impression, to where after the interview they looked around and said, we feel like that's the guy. But they continued to go through all of the interviews and then the second phase of things, and then made their decision and confirmed it based on all of that. It feels like Rand Carthon fit the description of what she was looking for.
Yeah, the timeline of everything that happened was so interesting to me. The Titans finish up an interview with Malik Boyd, and like an hour later, they have announced that they're moving forward with Rand Carthon, Ryan Cowden, and Ian Cunningham. And then a few hours later, Rand Carthon is named as the general manager. So it happened very quickly. And to your point, Hutton, whatever he did in his presentation, Amy Adams Strunk was just blown away by. But we just had Jeff Fisher join the show, and he said that he thinks that this dynamic between Vrabel and Rand Carthon is going to be really strong. How do you interpret the powers that be, and who has final say in kind of the power balance between Vrabel and Carthon?
I think they'll say personnel goes to the general manager. I mean, that typically is what happens, unless they're going to give Vrabel a title that's over that. And I don't foresee that being the case. And if it was the case, he'd be involved in initial interviews too. So, yeah, I think personnel to the GM, which is the way it should be based on this structure, it should be a collaboration. And the background of personnel, where based on what you can read on his background, what those like Fish or others that have been with him have said about Carthon, it sounds like he does a lot of things well throughout his background, and I think that fits what the Titans are wanting in their general manager, to collaborate with Mike Vrabel. And keep this in mind, too. It's all about scouting personnel, identifying the talent to bring in to the organization. But it's also about personality fit. And she's not bringing someone in that's going to be the anti-Vrabel. I think these guys will match up well. And I think the personalities, he's apparently an outgoing guy. So is Vrabel, very professional in the media sessions that I've seen, that you can find on YouTube or just hear people talk about. I think it fits the organization. And look, the first thing is they've got to figure out who fits what they're going to do internally, guys already on the roster. And they've got to get to work fast. So I think the timing of everything fits what they have coming up with the Senior Bowl, with free agency on March 15th, but also determining what they're going to do with certain contracts.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. Now, Hutt, in talking with Fisher and trying to just, you know, get some things figured out or get an inside look on who Carthon is as a as a scout, just as a person and a scout. Now he's been a part of, you know, three other organizations, and it seems like at each organization, whether it be in Atlanta when they drafted, he was a scout then, but in 08 when they drafted Matt Ryan, They drafted their franchise quarterback. Then he goes to St. Louis / L.A. They draft who they thought was their franchise quarterback in Jared Goff. And then they do the same thing in San Francisco when they drafted Trey Lance and brought in Jimmy Garoppolo, but ended up drafting Trey Lance. So he was a part of the organization each time that drafted who they thought was their franchise quarterback. Do you think he comes in with sort of that same mindset of trying to find, I know what the roster looked like. I know we have to evaluate the roster, but from my history, we first got to get a franchise quarterback in order to, as we develop this roster, in order to try to win a Super Bowl.
Yes, he's thinking that way. I don't know if he's thinking that in year one, though, Mace. Mm-hmm. I mean, the examples are great, and you're right. They all fit together, but I know that that didn't happen his first year in San Francisco where they went after Lance. You know, that took a process and that took time. And the others likely did too, while he was, you know, in different roles with different organizations. But the experience is going to pay off whenever that time comes. I don't know if the Titans are within reach of jumping up and grabbing one of these two guys at the top and giving up the draft capital that is needed to help supplement what that quarterback is going to need if you're going to win within the next two years of that guy being a part of your organization. Things can change fast, but they've got to initially stabilize what they have and determine who's expendable and who's not. And that starts with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. Once they make that determination, then I think the pieces to the puzzle come together, not easier, but they fit a bit better where you can see things slot in based on the timeline of an offseason. And those are things that he's going to have to immediately sit down and start chatting with when it comes to Vrabel. Once Vrabel puts the full staff together for OC, but that timeline is not nearly as pressing for Vrabel as it was for Strunk and Vrabel to get their GM in place.
Now, what do you think is more important in saying that? Do you think, because Jeff, in talking with Jeff, he said, you know, listen, you have to, you know, as a GM, listen, we're going to collaborate on the top picks, but it's the bottom half of the roster that we need to elevate. So do you think him coming in, it would be best not to get a home run guy, you know, in the first round, even though that would be great, but building up this roster from the bottom, because even if you get, say, that home run offensive tackle or that home run cornerback, your bottom half of your roster is still not good.
You and I have talked about this privately and publicly. We agree on this. Mm-hmm. Keep this in mind, and this jumps out to me, Mace, and I want your opinion too. His background is more in pro personnel than college. Mm-hmm. So in thinking about that, so let's put the draft aside. You build your roster through the draft, I know. But in acquiring free agents and identifying players in a free agent market where you don't have as much time to churn the water like you do during the draft, but you have to identify who fits what you do. And most of the time, those guys are role players. Not always, but most of the time, those guys are the back half of your roster that you're churning. That is where I think his value will really shine through. We're going to spend a lot of time on the NFL draft for a general manager, and that's fair, and we should. But there have also been misses within free agent signings over the last couple of years that have not paid off, that are making and costing more money than what those draft picks are costing in overall capital for where they were selected. They've got to hit on a lot of different areas. But the first area that he's going to go to work is going to be in that wave of free agency whenever he determines, okay, here's where we're going to help supplement what we're going to do in the draft. Because that starts a month and a half before he's going on the clock at currently pick number 11. So I look at what he's done in pro personnel, and I'm really intrigued to see what he does with his staff, which, by and large, the scouting staff will stay intact until at least after this upcoming draft. But he'll be able to add certain staff members, and the director of college scouting will be one of them. and I'm eager to see who that will be, who's coming with him, who's staying from this current regime. And then we can really start to piece together how they're going to go about delegating certain roles, with him having the final say over personnel and collaborating with the head coach on everything. I'm excited to see what he does in the free agency area, because they have an opportunity to really take it a different way, not necessarily in their culture, but I do think, you know, it's more difficult now to find guys who love football. And that's coming from the college area, where if you don't like where you are, transfer. You don't have to really love competition, just transfer and you'll play. I think it's more difficult to identify guys who love ball. And I think that is part of the crack in the foundation of the culture that Robinson had really built up, but then several misses cracked the foundation that led to the downfall of where we end up on December the 6th. And Carthon's got to do a much better job in that regard of finding guys that they say fits the Titans mold, then actually shows up and is that guy. Because the last few first, second round picks have not been that guy.
So now that the Titans have brought in Rand Carthon, what will the Titans look like next season on a roster standpoint, in terms of the coaching staff, now that they have their new GM? I want to get into that with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Outkick 360's Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hutton, Jeff Fisher was with us earlier, and he said that Rand Carthon's not the kind of guy that's going to come in and completely clean house and completely, you know, overhaul the coaching staff and the roster. But it would be naive to think that there won't be some changes coming down the pipe. And I look at the offensive coordinator position, seeing as though Rand Carthon comes from San Francisco, obviously a team that runs the Shanahan West Coast offense. Is that an indication that the Titans are going to stick with that system and not maybe go the Matt Nagy or the Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid offense route?
Well, this is where I say Vrabel has the final say. Vrabel needs control over his staff, not Rand Carthon. And this needs to be a Vrabel-led, and it is, decision. Whereas you have a committee of people that were in a room with Amy Adams Strunk and the general manager candidates. In this case, I think it's a one-man show. Mike Vrabel interviewing who he wants to call plays. And we've seen the list. I'm curious about Bieniemy, because if he doesn't get a head coaching job, I wonder if he looks around and says, I need to go prove it somewhere else instead of with Andy Reid. And if that's the case, they have a real chance to change some things up. And I don't think Vrabel's married to one specific way of doing things offensively. He would run the wing T if he thought he was going to win, and he would run the run and shoot if the same result would happen. So I lean more towards Vrabel on that than Carthon.
Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick. So, Hutt, I put myself in the shoes of Rand Carthon. First-year GM, first-time GM, 41 years old, a little younger than Mike Vrabel. So I'm wondering something you touched on before the break. How many people do you think he brings in sort of surround himself with people that he's worked with before, that he's comfortable with, and how much is he going to have to sort of just dive in to the existing infrastructure? Like, what's the balance there?
Well, I think from a scouting department, Willie, normally, you know, the Black Monday after the season is for coaches. That Black Monday, or whatever you want to call it, for scouting departments is the week after the draft, when the hay's in the barn. So I think that's really where he can have the full gamut of scouts that he knows and is connected to that he wants to try to bring into Nashville and weed out. Maybe that's a bad term, but weed out who he thinks is worthy of keeping and not, based on how he views things. From the director roles, director of college scouting, director of player personnel, I think that's where his connections in the past will pay off, and he can bring in one or two guys immediately. I also think he probably will sit down with Ryan Cowden and others and say, hey, who wants to stay, who doesn't, and see if those mesh with you know, his line of thinking too.
That's a great question about specifically Cowden, Jonathan, because he, as he sat there and interviewed for the same job. Now, remember a few years ago, Mike Vrabel was hired. Who else was interviewed? Matt LaFleur. Vrabel turns around and hires Matt LaFleur, who's been a pretty successful head coach now, you know, years later as we fast forward the clock. So what happens on that particular front with Cowden specifically?
I think it's very similar, and I'm thinking about that in mentioning him, because Vrabel didn't know LaFleur. And Amy had mentioned to him, Amy Young-Strunk mentioned him, like, hey, he was really impressive. You know, you at least chat with him. And he did. He hired him. And I think, you know, in that regard, knowing that Cowden made the final cut of interviews, he interviewed for a second time, it means that whatever he had done in the first go-around made an impression to where he's one of the three that we know came back for a second. And I would expect, because he was selected to oversee things after they made the move with Robinson, that he, even if you're not retaining him, he's someone you want to speak with if you're Carthon, to decide, okay, here's what was in place, here's where we're going based on what I've interviewed with and what I pitched and what I know they want and what I'm going to do, and see if it lines up enough to where you can keep Cowden in place, who's going to continue to have other interviews each offseason, because he's done that now the last, what, two or three offseasons where he's interviewed for general manager positions. But Cowden could also be, you know, like I mentioned with Bieniemy, where he's like, hey, I need to branch off and go somewhere else with a different staff and try to work my way up the ladder that way. That could also be the case. But I do think he can leave an impression, not only with the interview process, but with the new general manager, that allows him to stick around if he wants to.
The historical part of this, Jonathan, I think we're all kind of excited about that part of it. And what you hope is that it was done seamlessly and Rand Carthon was just truly the right guy and the timing worked out. But in the big picture, I know there's a lot of people around the league that have to be super excited that Carthon, because he's been on the radar, right? He's young, but he's been considered one of these up-and-coming guys. And so you need jobs to open up, and here he is, the right guy at the right time.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was the owner's meeting where they brought minority candidates with them, right, from within the organization. Every owner could bring two, I believe. It was one of the off-season meetings. And Carthon was one of those that presented something in that weekend or that day. And then Strunk brought two with her as well. But from the 49ers, I believe Rand was one of those that really left a lasting impression on everyone there. So I think that's also something the league will point to, and it's something that has certainly worked to what they were trying to benefit, which is to get more people in front of organizations that otherwise the ownership wouldn't have a clue is available or wouldn't know who to recommend or not based on asking permission for guys who are under contract with other organizations. So I think that also led to Carthon making an impression with several owners around the league, Strunk certainly one of them. But, you know, keep in mind, like, he's coming in with a line of thinking that has to mesh not only with the personnel side of things, but also just the personality side of things. I think that's very underrated in this, is you've got to find the right fit and tone within the organization under the roof, like the daily tone. And I think he also resonated from that angle. And so I think that, and his qualifications more than anything, earn him the general manager position today here in Nashville.
There are some people, Jonathan, that are very intrigued with his background knowledge of the 49ers quarterback situation specifically, and wondering if there's something, as the musical chairs happens or doesn't happen over there. And one way or the other, it's got to play itself out here in the coming weeks with Purdy, with Trey Lance, and whoever else is in this mix, and even his deep knowledge of Garoppolo, for example. What factor do you think that is going forward here? Do you buy into that, or do you think it's going to be Tannehill?
I still lean Tannehill because it's the easiest path without giving up capital, because I don't think, you know, Garoppolo, to me, I would rather have Tannehill. He's available. Purdy, there's no way they're letting that dude get away. We haven't even written his story yet, but it could be remarkable what this guy ends up doing. We'll see. But and then Trey Lance, like what they gave up to go get him organizationally, to me that drives up the cost of what it would take to get them to throw in the towel on him now. So I don't think it's worth the price given the small snapshot we have of him actually playing. But he would know, I mean, he would have the internal background on knowing the scouting process and all that, but also, like, if you're that sold on him, why is San Francisco going to bail on him? I understand why the connections are going to be made. I just think it's a stretch to mention Trey Lance right now as a trade destination, given where they are in the whole process of developing him and knowing that Garoppolo has a no-trade clause, a no-tag clause, and he's a free agent immediately after the season. So he can go anywhere he wants to go, which is going to drive his tag up or price up a bit more. And I think the familiarity with Tannehill here helps him, even though it may not be the final solution, if that makes sense. I think I'm intrigued by how they went about identifying the type of quarterback they wanted, because Purdy fits the Shanahan mold, and it's the pairing of the two that I think make it possible for what they're doing with the last pick in the draft. And I think it has a lot of people, including me, going around looking at some of these third and fourth round picks going, what are they doing with these guys that make no sense based on who they're starting and who they're backing up? And now this guy's just a practice squad guy. Like, I think there is more development there than what's going on around the league, and we're seeing it with the Iowa State product.
And to the point about Garoppolo, you would be moving off of Tannehill to another quarterback that I think is just as good, if not as good, as Ryan Tannehill. To me, the Jimmy Garoppolo move doesn't make sense at all. But there's another quarterback you didn't name, Hutton. Quarterback you don't have to give anything up to get. Tom Brady.
I think all that's on the table. I don't just dismiss it. But here's the thing about Brady. He led the league in pass attempts this year. Mm-hmm. Over 700 of them.
That's
ridiculous.
I mean, he broke his own record. He held the record. He set the record last year for the most pass attempts in a single season. He broke it this year. And that tells you, zero run game, zero offensive line, and an aging quarterback.
Yeah, and yards per attempt, I think, is noteworthy in there, right? It was very low.
Career low.
Just a couple of them.
Beyond the numbers, it was really tough to watch a lot of those games. I mean, it was a struggle. They were winning games 14-13, 13-12. I mean, it took everything they had to get down the field in certain games. And they won a certain amount of them, right? But it was not the free-flowing. I mean, you those yards do not equate to what you saw as results in my mind.
And look, for those that are saying, well, he's washed up, he's done, we all watched Peyton Manning win a Super Bowl in Denver. Where, I mean,
it wasn't because
of
him.
Rough shape.
Yeah.
Rough shape. Tom Brady with a run game and an offensive line can win football games at 46. Now, with this offensive line, Caroline, no. I mean, it's worse than what he just came from currently. But he's bringing guys with him, and there are spots that make sense. There are connections that make sense. Vrabel is one of them, but it's not the best option on paper. But neither was Tampa Bay, really, whenever he selected Tampa and he went and won a Super Bowl. I don't rule anything out, but the structure around why you're bringing him in needs to be more about the offense than it is about Brady. And that's never been more apparent than what we saw this year in Tampa.
Jonathan Hutton, OutKick 360. Appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week.
Yep. Always look forward to this. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Have a good one. So the Titans have plenty of quarterback options. Now that Rand Carthon is in the building, Trey Lance is in the conversation, Jimmy Garoppolo is in the conversation, Ryan Tannehill, Tom Brady. We'll get into the Titans' future options at the quarterback position coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025. It's Caroline Willie Demas, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Now, I do not see one of those guys going. Because Kyle Shanahan paid such a high price to get Trey Lance. He got hurt. It's not his fault he got hurt. Brock Purdy came out of nowhere like an alien spaceship, dropped him off in Santa Clara, and he's been a humongous surprise. And now, what if Cawthorn likes Jimmy G? Well, then Jimmy G's going to be an unrestricted free agent. It seems to me the Titans need a veteran quarterback because Derrick Henry played really well, as you know. And he's, you know, you got to maximize what time he's got left as a premier running back. And so that's why I think they need a veteran like Jimmy G or Derek Carr. And Cawthorn knows Jimmy G really well. He played well this year before he got hurt. He gets hurt a lot. And so you never know. He may think that's the guy we need. Brable may agree. Or he may say, you know, we need to draft the last player at the bottom of the seventh round, like Stetson Bennett or Max Duggan from TCU, and see if they can rekindle some Mr. Irrelevant magic that they've got going on in San Francisco.
There you go. That was John McClain on Stillman & Company last night, and nobody is more plugged into the NFL than John McClain is. And he's highlighting what I think is really interesting is the fact that the 49ers probably have top to bottom the most stacked quarterback room in the NFL. You have Trey Lance, and then Jimmy G is the backup, and then now Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, is out there balling, looking like he's Tom Brady. So the 49ers are going to have a really difficult decision to make when it comes down to who their starting quarterback is going to be in 2023. If Brock Purdy takes you to the Super Bowl, how do you move off of Brock Purdy? You can't. That's exactly how Tom Brady became the starting quarterback of the Patriots, was he was able to lead the Patriots to a Super Bowl, and they say, we can't go back to Drew Bledsoe after that. So I think that the 49ers quarterback situation is very interesting, and that's where the Titans come in as well, is that Rand Carthon knows those quarterbacks. Rand Carthon probably, I don't know this for certain, but probably has a personal relationship with all three of those quarterbacks. So if the Titans do decide to move on from Ryan Tannehill, there could be a Jimmy G that's on the chopping block. The 49ers could be interested in trading Trey Lance. If Brock Purdy wins a Super Bowl as the quarterback, you can't turn around and go back to Trey Lance, no matter how much real estate you traded to get Trey Lance. So I think the 49ers quarterback situation is very interesting and could, down the line, affect the Titans quarterback room as well.
I don't... Yes, it can.
Yeah.
Jimmy G is a free agent, so I don't think any San Francisco has any say unless they say, listen, we want to bring you back at X amount of dollars, and it's something that he just can't walk away. But I don't see them doing that. He's going to move on. But here's the interesting thing about San Fran and why I don't think the Tennessee Titans would be involved this year. And if they're not involved this year, I can't see them being involved in years moving forward because both of these guys are under rookie deals. They don't have to do anything with Trey Lance if they don't want to. They don't have to do anything with Brock Purdy. Together, their contracts probably total maybe a couple
about
of million
a fifth
dollars.
Of exactly. Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, this is a good problem that San Francisco has in the sense of, yes, if Brock Purdy comes out and even if he takes us to the Super Bowl, I would almost want to go down the road or venture and say he's the starting quarterback next year. But that doesn't mean that we all of a sudden got to get rid of Trey Lance. Trey Lance is still operating under that rookie contract. So if you want Trey Lance, show me how much you want him.
Yeah.
Other than that, he's staying put because I don't know, you know, Brock Purdy can get hurt. We need someone that knows this system that we can rely on. So in come Trey Lance. Now, if Trey Lance comes back in and he ends up wowing everybody, then so be it. Now you got a problem. Which one do you pick? But at this juncture, they don't. It's like Garoppolo will be out the door. If you want him, take him. That's not none of our doings, but I wouldn't go down that road if I'm the Titans.
No.
He's not better than what you have already. And then in regards to Trey Lance, he's probably I'm thinking of this more so as a player. He's probably hoping because he's sort of reading the tea leaves. He's there. He understands. If Brock Purdy continues to play well, he's probably seen this young man. He's probably in his mind, this cat's good. Like, I think I'm good, but this cat's good too. So he could be almost hoping that, please, if you do go or you're going now, please bring me, you know, because I'm reading the tea leaves, and I don't think I'm going to get my starting quarterback job back because this kid is playing so well. But San Francisco's on the other hand. They're like, listen, we don't have to do anything.
Exactly.
Ran Carthon, if you want him, show me how much you want him.
Yeah, and they do need picks because they gave up a lot mm-hmm. of picks to get Christian McCaffrey, and that's working out for them right now. You know, if they lose this weekend to the Cowboys, which is possible, then all of a sudden it's kind of poof. We just gave up all those picks. Oh, my gosh, what do we do now? Because they're on an unbelievable roll right mm-hmm. now. It looks great. McCaffrey is playing out of his mind. He looks like the Christian McCaffrey from 3 years ago.
Totally resurrected.
He's back where he went to college. It's mm-hmm. the vibe is there. But what you described, Derek, I think is by far the most likely scenario. Garoppolo hits the market. Anybody wants him, show me the money. You can have him, right? He's out there for anybody. There's no trade. Mm-hmm. If I were the 49ers, I would probably lean towards bringing them both back. Trey Lance has got a lot to prove. He's got to prove he can stay healthy. He's got to compete. Brock Purdy has done a lot. I can start the year with Brock Purdy. If he turns into a pumpkin next year sometimes, which has happened before, a guy goes on a nice run, and then his weaknesses are exposed over a period of time. And then I've got Trey Lance coming back, and he's still very, very young. And like you said, you could make it work easily cap-wise. So, to me, that's probably the position they're sitting in. So, Rand Carthon knows that. So, you would have to really make a big pitch to get him. And I don't know. Like, if I'm coming in as a new GM, I got a lot of things to address. I got my left tackle. I've got so many other holes on the roster. I've got to rebuild my offensive line. They need picks. They need another good draft class. So, I don't know if I would give up several draft picks over the next couple of years when I'm trying to build my thing there just to get a quarterback. Who's unproven and he's been hurt, right? Even though he might know him better than just about anybody else out there.
And I don't even know if the 49ers have any interest whatsoever in trading Trey Lance. But mm-hmm. I would look at it like if Brock Purdy carries you to the promised land. Titans need picks, but so do the 49ers. The 49ers gave up picks, to your point, for Christian McCaffrey. But they also gave up 3 first-round picks to get Trey Lance. So they would be sitting on a cash cow, a young quarterback on a rookie deal. But they're going to want a lot in return for it. But the 49ers also love him. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't give up 3 first-round picks for a quarterback if you didn't absolutely positively love him. But we are right to your phones coming up next. I promise, right to your phones. Your thoughts on Rand Carthon, the Titans' future quarterback situation. All of that is on the table. 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063 The Game. The Titans have got quarterback options. Now they've got a 49ers guy in the building. Rand Carthon, director of player personnel for the San Francisco 49ers, is your new Titans general manager. So now Jimmy Garoppolo is part of the conversation, possibly. Trey Lance, if the 49ers should decide to go down the Brock Purdy route, which Brock Purdy's looking like a freaking rock star. Ryan Tannehill, obviously. Tom Brady's out there, so we'll get your thoughts on the Titans quarterback situation, as well as Rand Carthon being named the Titans' new general manager. We'll go to your phones, unless you two have a thought.
Let's do it. Let's go to it.
To the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam is up next. What's up, Adam?
Adam.
Dramatic pause. We lost him.
All right, Adam, call back. You know the number. One texter texts into the text line and says, Carthon was part of 2 front offices where they trade up for a franchise quarterback, Jared Goff and Trey Lance. Could that scare him away from it, or does that just give him an idea of how best to do it to get your guy?
Well, I mean, it shouldn't scare you away because Jared Goff had some success with the Rams. Trey Lance, I still believe they think he's a quarterback that can be a starter in this league. Now he needs to stay on the field, but they believe he can be a starter in this league. So I don't think that ultimately scares him away from potentially going to get a quarterback. I think what would probably sort of move him away from that option is once you looked at the roster, assessed it, talk with the head coach, talk with your scouts and everybody else, and y'all come up to what a consensus is. Maybe we don't need to draft one this year, but eventually we're going to have to go get one. So I don't think what has happened, you know, at his previous stops will deter him from going out to get that quarterback. I think what would possibly put the brakes on it for now is him discussing the roster with Vrabel and see how they then proceed with the quarterback. If they want to go get a quarterback in the first round this year, or if they want to, you know, try to get picks and possibly get that quarterback next year if possible.
Yeah, I just think every experience you have is a good thing, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't mean that you get scared the next time, but I think it helps having been in that position. Mm-hmm. You've now been through it twice. You saw how the process went. You saw the good and the bad. And I don't think it's necessarily all about whether it worked or didn't work, right? It's just you use that to do the job that is now in front of you. That's how I would answer that.
Yeah, and with Trey Lance, they don't know what is going to happen with Trey Lance. Trey Lance could be their quarterback of the future, and he could win 5 Super Bowls with the 49ers, or it could be, you know, Trey Lance is your starter for a few years, and you make the playoffs for a few years, and it's pretty underwhelming. We don't know what the Trey Lance era in San Francisco is going to look like. With Jared Goff, you could look at it like, look, we traded up to get Jared Goff, took us to a Super Bowl, and we decided he wasn't our guy anymore, so we moved on from Jared Goff.
You could do a research paper on that trade for both teams 100%. And say what worked well for the Rams, what worked well for the Titans, who won the trade. I mean, you could probably have a sports journalism class where you'd say, or sports debate class, yeah. right? Who won this trade? And you could probably argue either side, right?
Absolutely. And I think, too, look at the recent history with the 49ers. It's not just the 49ers being really bold in selling out to get Trey Lance. It's not just the quarterback. They also traded a bunch of picks to get Christian McCaffrey. And that is paying dividends as well. So Rand Carthon coming from an organization and from a front office that's willing to, that knows when to trade the picks and knows when to make those big blockbuster moves in order to help your football team. And one of them is paying dividends and the other, we'll see. Back to your phones. Adam is up next. What's up, Adam?
Hey, I was trying to unmute you and I dropped the phone. I'm sorry. So this is it.
That's a rookie mistake, Adam. We expect higher from you. Come on.
Yeah, that sucks, man. I'm sorry. So embarrassed. No, so check this out. So what I think of when I hear you guys talking, like, this, number one, Brady's not coming here. I would not.
And
why? That's like, because that's like going from like an executive level down to a line worker, man. Like, it's just, nobody would do that.
You think that the Bucks are an executive level?
What I'm saying is, like, if I'm picturing it as, like, a regular person job, that's somebody at McDonald's that wears, a suit and then goes and works on the line. Is what it feels like to me, because it's such a step back coming to the Titans organization where you have to completely start over. I would say no. I don't know. It could happen. I would say no. I think Jimmy G's our next quarterback.
Why?
And because
Jimmy G.
Deion Lewis and Steven Gostkowski and Butler and all these dudes that come from the Patriots with J-Rob, these guys like to do that. They like to implement their guys. And everything that I've seen from Jimmy G, like, I love. And not just the physical stuff. Some of the physical stuff, you know he's got limitations of what he could do. But, like, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen be put through the situation that Jimmy G was put in and handle it the way he handled it? Like, he's a great professional. I think Carthon's going to want to bring somebody like that with him, and I think he'll make him look good. So I think Jimmy G is going to be our quarterback.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
I don't see the advantage of bringing Jimmy Garoppolo in. I don't. Mm-hmm. I think that I view Jimmy Garoppolo and Ryan Tannehill as like the same tier of quarterback, if not Ryan Tannehill even above Jimmy Garoppolo. I know he brought the 49ers to a Super Bowl, but how much of that is Jimmy Garoppolo and how much of that was the pieces around him in a system coached by one of the best offensive minds in football and Kyle Shanahan? I don't view Jimmy Garoppolo as a step up, and I don't think that Rand Carthon would bring in his guy in Jimmy Garoppolo just because.
It would almost, in a sense, be a lateral move if you go from Ryan Tannehill to Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, if this was if they were hiring, you know, an offensive coordinator from that staff, we all know Kyle calls the plays and everything else. But if they were to hire, you know, I don't know who's the second in command there in regards to offensive coordinator. Who they gave the title to. But say if Carthon was to say, okay, Vrabel, this is the guy that maybe you should look at. And Vrabel looks at the guy and say, you know what, I want to hire him. And he comes along. I can see in a scenario that if that happens, then to me there is a chance of Jimmy Garoppolo coming with the offense coordinator. Why? Because they know each other, run the offense, he feels comfortable. You won't have to sort of take your quarterback through the offense in the whole offseason. You got somebody that already knows it in Jimmy Garoppolo. So if that was the case, then yeah, I think there would be a higher probability that Garoppolo comes. But because it's Carthon who was in upper management, I can't see Jimmy G coming with Carthon. I just can't see it because, frankly, I don't think – well, he could have been a part of the group that you know, helped sign Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco. But I still can't – if it's the offensive coordinator, it's more of a likely scenario, yes. But because now it's Carthon coming and being GM, I can't see that being a feasible move for the Titans.
I'm no on Jimmy G. It's not happening. Not going to happen. No.
It wouldn't make any sense.
The cost of doing that move, getting rid of Tannehill to get Garoppolo, to me, is just not enough of a net gain.
It doesn't make
Even if
sense.
You believe Garoppolo might be a little bit better, it's just the money doesn't work, I don't think.
It just doesn't make sense.
You've got the bird in hand. You have a quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would say the only way that the Titans move off of Tannehill is if you upgrade. Whether that's in the draft or whether that's, you know, a Brady, whether that's an Aaron Rodgers, and whether you want that to happen or think it's going to happen, it's still a possibility that's on the table. But moving off of Tannehill to go to a Derek Carr or a Jimmy Garoppolo or a Baker Mayfield, at that point, you're just moving things around just to move things around. It doesn't actually benefit your football team in any way. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, the Instagram story heard round Nashville. What does it mean? We'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline Billy Demace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.